All right, welcome. Managed to do a recording here for the situation update for Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. However, I did have to cancel my guest, and we have scheduled him to come back on a future date. So that's my fault. I apologize to my guest for that. But here's today's topic. The Civil War in America begins in Arizona. And I don't even mean that it begins right now. It's just that Arizona is about to be certified for Katie Hobbs as the governor. It's obvious theft, totally illegal. Everything was rigged, obviously. You know, Katie Hobbs, conflict of interest, you know, running the voting system, rigging everything, shutting down the machines on voting day to hurt conservatives. 291,000 something votes for Carrie Lake have just vanished, just disappeared. So yeah, the whole thing is rigged. But why? Why? The answer is because they had to have a George Soros-funded governor in charge, that's Katie Hobbs, for the coming pandemic, because they need to be able to force lockdowns, quarantines, and exterminations of conservatives during this pandemic. Now, that's what's coming. And Alex Jones pointed some of this out in his show yesterday. I thought it was a brilliant analysis. He said, look, the people of the world, if they saw UN blue helmets, you know, thugs with machine guns and battle gear coming up to them, taking them away, you know, or locking them up, people would fight back. But what if it's health workers with guns, with health authority? What if it's in the middle of a, quote, pandemic or a, quote, outbreak? And they're not dressed in battle gear necessarily. They're dressed in the, you know, the personal protective equipment type of stuff, you know, the face respirators and so on. Suddenly it's a health emergency. That's how they're going to accomplish this. And Arizona is going to be a state now because Katie Hobbs is being installed illegally, but she's going to be the, quote, governor. She's being installed in order to have the health assassination squads go out and target and arrest and isolate and exterminate conservatives or dissidents or anyone who disagrees with the government. So Arizona is going to be the battleground. And the reason I say that is because the people of Arizona are conservative. The people of Arizona are heavily armed. The people of Arizona will not put up with being locked down and exterminated and thrown into COVID camps to be never heard from again. So the conflict is coming there for sure. Whereas in states like Texas, the governor being a Republican, Governor Abbott, and his attorney general, Ken Paxton, they won't even try that level of lockdown. And nor will DeSantis in Florida, nor will you see this in Oklahoma or Missouri or Louisiana, a bunch of other states. But you will see it now in Arizona. I don't mean now. I mean, you will see it when the pandemic is released in Arizona because of events happening now, which is, of course, election theft and the installation of Katie Hobbs. So, this is going to be ground zero for civil war in America, I believe. And with Katie Hobbs there, by the way, there is no path for any GOP president to ever be elected in America ever again. Without Arizona, you can't win. And so with Katie Hobbs in charge, Arizona is going to join Oregon, Washington, California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, and so on. States that just flat out agree to rig every election. They will cheat. They will print ballots. They will lose votes. They will do whatever is necessary in the next presidential election. And that's why it was so critical that Carrie Lake won this election in Arizona, because we need Arizona in order to have a Republican president. There will not be a Republican president as long as Katie Hobbs is in power in Arizona, okay? So just bank on that. Now then, what's coming before 2024's election, by the way, what's coming is the next stage of the pandemic. There's going to be a big release of something bigger than COVID, something scarier than COVID, something that panics people, even people who are probably hard to scare because they've lived through COVID, and so many Americans now know that that was all BS. The media scare campaign didn't really hold water. A lot of people know now the vaccines don't work, the masks don't work, the lockdowns were useless. It was all it was all theater. So something's coming that's going to scare people out of that theater. And this means they have to release something that is truly, truly deadly. And it doesn't have to be a virus, by the way. It could be, and we've talked about these possibilities before, it could be aerosolized venom peptides or other toxic poisons, lots of chemical weapons that could be released in certain cities in order to fake a pandemic outbreak, like VX nerve gas, for example. And some of the symptoms of VX nerve gas really resemble these people who appear to go into some kind of tremors, and then they spin around and then they die, apparently from the vaccine. But, you know, VX nerve gas looks a whole lot like that, by the way. And people start shaking and tremoring, and then they lose nervous system control, and they're dead. You know, they collapse and die. So there are many other toxins. Again, no virus is necessary for a so-called pandemic outbreak to be staged. And it can be staged in every major city. It can be staged in Phoenix, especially when you have some criminal like Katie Hobbs in charge, running that operation there with the help of the globalists like George Soros and his money and so on. So think about all of the Democrat-controlled cities in America. That's where they can set up the outbreak. Whether it's real or fake doesn't matter. They can show images of people bleeding out of their eyeballs or dropping dead in the middle of the street. And they can use that then to declare a pandemic emergency. Now, what they're waiting on for this, by the way, is the World Health Organization COVID treaty or pandemic treaty. It applies to more than COVID, so really it's the new pandemic treaty. And that interview was what, 10 days ago or something? You can go back and check that interview. That treaty is going to be signed by Joe Biden sometime in early 2023. That treaty gives the World Health Organization total control over the local response to any kind of a health emergency, meaning the WHO can order your local county, your town, your city, your state, into forced vaccinations, forced quarantines, lockdowns, masks, social distancing, anything they want. And this treaty, if Joe Biden signs it, takes away the national sovereignty of the United States. According to Dr. Boyle, by the way, he's the expert. He wrote the bioterrorism prevention treaty, what was it, that was signed by Reagan in 1989, I believe. He wrote it. He's the author. He's an expert in treaties. And he told me specifically in that interview that the language of this treaty, so-called treaty, is designed to usurp the sovereignty of both the United States of America at the federal level and also at the state level. It's designed that way. So even states won't be able to say no to this, you know, legally, although some states will resist it. So let's say Florida, Texas, and other conservative states say, no, we're not going to follow that. Go pound sand. But you can bet Arizona, under criminal Katie Hobbs, is going to say, yep, you're all locked down. Now we're going to destroy the economy. We're going to shut you down. And if you disagree, we're going to come take you away. You'll never be heard from again. That's coming. The final act is coming. This is the final act slash the final solution. You know what that means? It's coming. And it's coming before Election Day of 2024. You see, Democrats are not afraid of another election. They've already rigged the two they needed to rig to put enough people in power to carry out the mass extermination program that they've been wanting to do all along. So they don't worry about 2024. There is no 2024 that matters in their minds. They're going to carry out mass extermination across the country long before then. And this is the mechanism that I'm explaining of how they're going to do that. And it starts with a pandemic or some kind of staged outbreak, some kind of pandemic theater, whatever it looks like, followed by forced lockdowns, forced quarantines, and then all the, you know, the medical suited up men with guns under health authorities, i.e. the WHO, coming in and taking you away and murdering you, and millions of people across America. So mass murders will begin with the next great outbreak that is being planned. And they're just going to murder you in the name of public health, public safety, you see. It's the new fascism, I guess. It's the new Holocaust. They're going to kill you while claiming they're saving you. Now, you notice the globalists are running out of time. Mass uprisings in China right now. The CCP is about to lose control. This is way bigger than Tiananmen Square, 1989. Way bigger. China's about to be toppled because, well, they've abused their citizens for so long with the lockdowns and the isolation and the slave labor and the organ harvesting and everything else you can imagine, their people are rising up. The military is rising up in Brazil with the people over that rigged election. There are protests in European countries. There have been over the last few months in Germany, in France, in Spain, in the UK, and other countries. And there's a lot more coming over this winter, of course, because of the energy outages and the food scarcity and the power grid failures, everything. Going to be a lot of protests. The globalists have realized they are running out of time. They just lost their FTX crypto slush fund operation, and they're losing some key decisions at the U.S. Supreme Court level as well, such as decisions on the Second Amendment. The globalists are losing the consent of the people because people are tired of being scammed through the CDC, through the FDA, through COVID, through, you know, everything we've just been through, the vaccines and all of it. And there are some positive forces in the world and some patriotic people who are working diligently to expose the corruption, the cabal, the pedophiles. I mean, look at what's been coming out recently on, you know, elite child trafficking and pedophilia. Even Tucker Carlson is covering this. Look at the Balenciaga ad campaign, or however you pronounce that company. That news about that is exploding everywhere. It is way worse than what you've seen. People are increasingly waking up about the rigged financial system. A lot more people are getting into gold and silver or other alternative currencies. Crypto, well, there was an attempted collapse of the crypto space, but they haven't killed it off yet. And the core technology may yet be applied to some decentralized solutions that could run as competitors to the dollar in the long run. And so the globalists are totally freaking out, and they're now desperately trying to seize control. They know they need a financial collapse. They need a massive pandemic. They know they need control over the key states, the key governorships, and so on, and key senators. That's why they rigged it against Oz and rigged it against Blake Masters in Arizona and so on. And this is why they rigged it in Brazil. So the final act is almost here. And I believe it's going to happen in 2023. Although, for the record, my predictions do tend to come too early. Things tend to take a little bit longer to play out than I anticipated. But as soon as the WHO treaty is signed, that's when we should start to really watch for the next pandemic to be released, because they need that false authority of that so-called treaty in order to enforce all this, lock everybody down, and engage in the final destruction of the economic system, force everybody into mass starvation, then collapse the currency at the same time. And once the currency is collapsed, then they would try to force people onto a universal basic income through a digital wallet system. On that system, of course, they would exercise total control, because that's called programmable money. It's centrally controlled by the central bank or the treasury. You would not have any freedom from that point forward. You would be a slave to their system. They would know everything you bought. They'd be able to control what you buy or limit it. They could say you can't use this digital currency to purchase ammo, for example, or anything, alcohol, gasoline, a home. They could say you're only allowed to buy food and only this much. You know, they could put quotas into your wallet system, which is exactly why they want total control over your digital finances, right? So all of this is about to happen very quickly. Sometime next year is what it looks like. Now, the people who are going to be insulated from this will be the people who have what I've been calling off-grid resources in all of these areas. So off-grid food is both stored food, but also seeds and sprouting and the ability to grow your own food. Off-grid money is gold and silver, or items that you can barter relatively easily. It could be some supplies of ammunition, for example, or even a piece of land, although land is not really that liquid. Gold and silver are very, very liquid. I've talked about off-grid medicine, you know, backup emergency medicine. Get yourself some emergency antibiotics, for example. Make sure you've got ivermectin. Make sure you have iodine and antiseptics and things like that. Backup communications, you know, satellite phones, I've talked about satellite text messaging devices like the Bivy stick and things like that, or terrestrial radios that don't have a monthly fee. You just, you know, little Baofeng radios that are pretty cheap and you can use within, I don't know, a mile or something locally, depending on how powerful those are. The thing is, those radios are pretty easy to triangulate and track down. So using them gives away your position. You know, just make sure you are aware of that. But the people they're going to be able to force into the camps, those will be the people who had no backup supplies, people who had no real money, no gold and silver, no extra food, you know, no extra shelter. They don't own their home. They're paying rent. They're behind on everything. They owe a lot of money on their credit cards. They live paycheck to paycheck and so on. Those people will be trapped and forced into the new digital currency system, a Mark of the Beast system. And in that Mark of the Beast system, you will be a slave to Satan. In fact, New Patriot, who I've interviewed, he's got a great channel on Brighteon.com. New Patriot had a great piece about that in the last day or so, talking about the Mark of the Beast system. You can reject it, but they, the powers that be, they're going to make your life a living hell. They're going to make it difficult for you to buy groceries or difficult to survive. They will destroy your currency, that is your dollars, in a bank account. But they will probably give you some kind of a trade-in where you don't lose most of it if you go into the digital wallet system and you agree to have the mark upon your palm. You agree to the Mark of the Beast system, then you'll be able to keep your dollars. They'll just be converted into digital dollars. If you don't agree to the Mark of the Beast system, you lose all the dollars in the banking system. That's how they're going to do this. And actually, I think that was a really great job there by New Patriot pointing that out. You're going to wake up one day and there's going to be an announcement. All the banks are frozen, but don't worry. All your deposits are safe. They're just being converted into a digital wallet system. And all you have to do is sign up and give us your iris scan. Give us your thumbprint. Give us your blood sample, your anal swab, your nasal sample, whatever, you know, all the crazy things they're going to ask for. And then you can have your money. Look, here it is. It's fine. It's in the digital realm now. We saved it for you. And then, boom, you've sold your soul. The minute you even sign up for that system, God cannot save you. I mean, this is mentioned in the Bible. If you sign up for the Mark of the Beast system, you sell your soul to Satan in that moment. And so those of us who plan to resist that system, we understand that we will lose every dollar that's in the bank when this day comes, whatever day that is, you know, March 13th of 2023 or whatever it is, March 17th. I wonder what's going to happen on those days. That'll be interesting. But that day is coming. And you need to know that the only way to survive this is to have backup supplies. Now, with that in mind, I'll mention today's sponsor, which is the gold and silver company, the Treasure Island Precious Metals and Coins Company. That's my recommended source. Very honest, very competitive pricing, honest delivery, discreet delivery, guaranteed delivery, insured, everything. They can help you with an IRS compliant IRA if you want. If you want to do it that way, personally, I recommend taking physical possession of gold and silver. And right now, silver is the best bet, in my opinion, based on where things are going, not for speculation, but just for holding assets, just preventing them from eroding. So if you want to reach those folks there at Treasure Island, just go to metalswithmike.com. metalswithmike.com. It'll forward you to their page and you'll be able to see current pricing and options and what they have in inventory, what's coming into inventory and so on. So, and we thank them for their support. Now, if you have supplies like a backup money system or backup food, backup all the things we talk about, backup medicine, backup shelter, you own your home free and clear and so on, then you can resist the Mark of the Beast system. You can exist outside that system. And there will be entire parallel economies that will rise up among the free people who have not sold their souls to Satan. You'll be able to buy, sell, and trade. It might be a combination of silver coins and some kind of maybe crypto, maybe garden seeds, maybe barter. I don't even know exactly what it's going to look like. Maybe certain states will issue their own sovereign currency. Maybe there will be secession, like Texas breaking off and saying, hey, we're going to be our own state with our own currency, our own money system, whatever. They have, you know, a lot of gold in Texas. Even the University of Texas system has all kinds of billions of dollars in gold. It's crazy. They do. They've got their own stockpiles of gold. That's thinking like a Texan, though. You know, that's smart. So I'm not sure exactly what this is going to look like, but I know this is coming. And I know that if you're living paycheck to paycheck with no extra supplies, You are so vulnerable, you won't be able to eat without surrendering your soul to the system. So the vast majority of the masses will surrender their souls. They will sign up for the Mark of the Beast system because they don't want to starve. And they will be gone. You know, I mean, from a soul perspective, they're gone. But a lot of those people are, of course, the obedient people who are taking all the vaccines and the booster shots and, you know, voting for Democrats that are enslaving them and so on. Those people are radical leftists, socialists, fascists, communists, and they're already gone. You know, they're barely human the way it is, so you're not going to notice any difference. And, oh, yeah, it's still the same demons, you know. Just now they're demons with digital wallets. And, of course, whatever they do will be allowed because they're the demon class, right? They can spend all the money they want. They can buy anything they want. But conservatives or anyone who speaks out against the demons, well, that's who's going to be controlled if you're in the system. So the best bet is don't go in the system. Don't join the system. I'm not going to join the system. I don't care how much I lose in terms of, quote, dollars or currency or whatever. They can have all the bank accounts in the world. They're not going to have my soul. You see what I'm saying? This is where you have to make a decision. What's more important, your digital dollars or your eternal soul, right? Make that decision now, by the way, and stick to it because you're going to be challenged on that for sure. All right. So with that said, I may have another special report here. Depends on what I have time to record. I may have a special report that I'll put in here. If not, then I will talk to you tomorrow. I apologize for this being so short. I haven't been able to cover all the headlines, but as I said yesterday, I'm involved in some very intensive skills acquisition type of activities for a bit here, and it's taken up almost all my time, and so that's what's going on. I'll share more with you later about that, but thank you for listening. Welcome to this special report on the Calhoun experiments and the mouse utopia revelation about what's happening with humanity right now. I'm Mike Adams. I spoke about this just yesterday in my podcast, but since then I've studied that research a little bit more, and I'm shocked at the details that I uncovered because it paints a near perfect roadmap of the downfall of human civilization right now. And I wanted to share with you some of the details that were observed in these mouse populations in the 1960s, including, by the way, transgenderism, infanticide, pedophilia, grooming, all the things that we are seeing today in human society. This means that the downfall has begun. We are just a couple of generations away, probably, from the complete collapse of human civilization with no live births, right? No, I'm serious. At least that's what happened in the mouse populations. Maybe it won't happen to all human beings, but, well, let me explain the experiment to you so you have some background in case you're not familiar with this. So the Calhoun experiments were conducted in the 1960s, I believe, or late 50s and into the early 1960s by a researcher named Calhoun. I don't know his first name, but this was written up in the Smithsonian Magazine and it was published in mainstream science journals at the time. And essentially Calhoun built an artificial world for these mice, and he did it with rats also, but I think most of his experiments were with mice. He built kind of a fort for them. It looked like it was maybe 12 feet across or something. It was pretty large, and he had unlimited food and water and no predators. And also, essentially, an unlimited amount of space, you know, living space, i.e. housing or nesting for the mice. And into this environment, he placed, to start with, 8 mice. And then these 8 mice, having unlimited food and water and no predators and so on, they began to reproduce at an astonishing rate. Now, if you know anything about mice, they're able to reproduce very, very quickly, and the female can get re-impregnated immediately after she gives birth, and so they can produce a lot of mice very quickly. So what happened was it went into a growth phase, and I don't know how many generations this growth phase lasted. In the experiment, it was like 100 and something days, I guess. I'd have to look at the exact timeline. But this whole thing went into collapse at around 500 and something days, which I'm not sure how that translates into human years, but, you know, a generation for mice is about, let's say, 50 days, and a generation for humans is 20 to 25 years. So, you know, you can make some comparisons from that. In any case, there was a massive growth phase, lots of reproduction, population was doubling very quickly, lots of mice. in this habitat, so to speak. And then it went into a stagnation phase where birth rates slowed down because they began to witness some aberrant type of behavior. In this phase, which is, let's just call it the stagnation phase, maybe the perversion phase, they started to witness female rats taking over the roles of males. So there was a masculinity factor in the females, and then many males became more feminized. Some of them were isolated from the social construct of the mouse community, so they were loners. Some of them were bullied by other male mice. And then there was also, there were gay mice, and there were transgender mice, and there was pedophilia. So as all of these things started to come out, they were associated with increased acts of violence and a lack of socialization skills. Now, remember, what was happening during all of this is that the newborns, the youth generation, did not have to compete for anything. So it was kind of like in the modern world where they say, everybody's a winner. Like, we're not going to compete and there's no losers. Like, everybody got unlimited food and water and no predators. There was no competition. It was pure, I don't know, socialism, communism, or basically it was a welfare state. Maybe that's a better way to describe it. So you had a mouse welfare state where no one had to work or compete in order to have food and water and reproduce, right? And so in that phase, they saw a lot of the transgenderism and the gay mice and the attempted mounting of youth, you know, child mice. So there was pedophilia and so on. And then in the final stage, which is the collapse stage, that's not what Calhoun called it, but that's what I'm calling it. The collapse stage, a population of all the mice in the aggregate began to decline quite rapidly. In this phase, there were no more live births. The mothers abandoned their children. They did not raise them. They would get pregnant, they would give birth and just abandon them, or they would be carrying a child and they would drop it accidentally. They would just leave it. They just move on. So this is similar to what we see today with abortions, infanticide, left-wing operations, celebrating the mass murder of children and not caring about children or celebrating abortions, all of this. In addition, this saw more violence and the total collapse of socialization skills among the mice. So since they did not have to compete for resources, they did not have to really sort out through social hierarchies as much who was dominant or, you know, who had control over which resources. And so that collapsed. And they ended up with these subpopulations of female mice that Calhoun called the beautiful ones. And the beautiful ones spent all day doing only three things. Number one, they weren't interested in sex or reproduction whatsoever. They had no children. The beautiful ones would spend all their time eating and self-grooming and sleeping. So they would groom themselves, which is something that mice do. I mean, all animals do it to some degree. They would groom themselves so that their fur looks fine. They look healthy. They look like leaders. They look like successful members of the mice society. And yes, mice are, they're mammals. They have very complex societies, by the way. So they would groom themselves in order to look this way. And that goes along with what we see in society today. We have a lot of youth that are focused entirely on selfies and how they look and outward appearances and posing for the selfies and posing on Facebook and filming their videos with their theatrical staged apartment that looks like, oh, we have fashion handbags and we've been traveling and life is so awesome, isn't it awesome? And it's all an act, right? Well, that's what the mice were doing. The female mice were just grooming, but they weren't interested in sex. They weren't interested in reproduction. And in fact, they did not reproduce whatsoever. There were zero live births in this phase, and the population began to just die off. And then eventually, it did completely die off. All the mice died, all of them. And what's shocking is that the mice died even when they had unlimited food and water and space and no predators. So importantly, this was not an issue of overcrowding where they ran out of space to live. That did not happen. There was still plenty of space to live. So anybody saying, well, this is what happens when you have overpopulation, that's actually not what was going on. What was really happening was there was no more competition. And then the youth generations never had to learn how to overcome obstacles. They never had to learn how to find food, how to compete for food. They never had to learn how to navigate social hierarchies in order to maintain control over certain resources, for example. They never had to negotiate with each other or trade with each other or even really tolerate each other. And so social skills collapsed, food harvesting skills collapsed, and then they never got passed down from one generation to the next. And ultimately then all the remaining living mice had no skills whatsoever to survive, not even when everything was given to them. So in this welfare state of mouse utopia, as it was called, the collapse happened because everything was free. And that led to a cultural collapse in the culture of the mice, where knowledge and information was not getting passed down from generation to generation, which is exactly what's happening in our universities right now, where America's youth are being taught what? Victimhood, liberalism, progressivism, blue hair, nose rings, transgenderism, but no actual knowledge about how to navigate society or produce anything or do anything useful. So every bullet point that came out of the study from Calhoun is what we're seeing in society right now, today, in real time. Every single thing, the infanticide, the abandonment of children, the transgenderism, females taking on male roles, increase in violence, total lack of socialization skills. I mean, look at what COVID did to our children too. Lockdowns, masks, social distancing, that only made it worse. So we've got an entire generation of children right now that have virtually no social skills whatsoever. And importantly, they do not believe in competition. So you can go to even MBA students in today's colleges and business schools, they do not believe in competition. They think that everyone's a winner, that equality means equal outcomes, and that everything has to be adjusted to make sure there are equal outcomes, and demanding that anybody be promoted based on merit, well, that's racist. You can't have merit, not a meritocracy. Everything's based on equality, which is what the mice had in the mice utopia. And then they all died because they lost the skills of navigating reality. They lost the skills of how to adapt, how to learn, how to pass along knowledge, how to teach their children, and so on. Now, a lot of scientists saw this, and some predicted, well, this was going to be doom and gloom for humanity. But they misinterpreted it. They thought that this is about population control. This is about overcrowding. That if you have too many people in one area, the overcrowding drives everybody insane and then everybody dies. But that's a misinterpretation. Again, it wasn't overcrowding. It was because everybody was getting welfare. And then generation after generation, they lost the skills. So what do we see in society today? What do we see with COVID? Stimulus money, free money, universal basic income. Here, everybody's going to get money for free. That's the same thing as the mice utopia handing out free food and water. And then generation after generation in humans, entire families lose the ability to function in a society. And all they do is raise children and then in some cases just murder them or abort them or abandon them. Just like the mice, you see, just like the mice. And what's shocking to me to consider in all of this is that those mice, they didn't feed their children poisoned food, you know, laced with pesticides and herbicides and heavy metals. They didn't have chemtrails. They didn't have hormone disruptors in the food plastics and the food packaging containers and all that. They didn't have heavy metals in the water supply. But humans today, that's what humans are subjected to. So far beyond the insanity of having everything provided and having no predators just sitting around eating and grooming and sleeping, far beyond that, humanity is being mass poisoned. So when I looked at this study, this gave me a lot of new perspective about the collapse of human civilization as it is unfolding in front of us in real time. It finally allowed me to understand that the global collapse of civilization can happen solely from cultural changes, and that they stem from things being too easy, from humanity having too much readily available food, frankly, and easy money, stimulus money, you know, low-cost money, which is what the Fed does, money printing. All of these handouts, they actually destroy humanity. the welfare state, universal basic income, stimulus money, all of it, it actually cripples humanity. It causes the downfall. And then the signs that we're seeing with transgenderism, the LGBT agendas, the pedophilia, the child grooming, the abortions, the infanticide, child mutilations, all of that, this is well known to occur in societies as they're losing their minds and collapsing. And they can reproduce it in mice over and over and over again. Did you ever think that? You thought this was just a human thing. You thought this was just a Satanism thing. And it isn't. There's more to it than that. This is a twisted perversion cultural insanity that's seizing hold of our modern society. And these things have been seen before throughout human history as well, by the way, in the Roman Empire, for example, and some of this in Aztec and Mayan empires and so on. Throughout human history, this has been seen before, and it's back. And there's going to be a mass die-off because of this. We may only be one generation away from the mass extermination of the human race. And it's already in play. I mean, we are watching the last stage right now. And so if you think about it, agricultural mechanization or the leveraging of farming equipment in order to produce a lot of food with very little effort, supplanted by fossil fuels, of course, this actually created a society of food abundance that is going to lead to the downfall of human society. Isn't that interesting? That food abundance creates collapse after a few generations. And we're there now. We're there now because how many youth in America today can grow food or even recognize where food comes from or even know what garden seeds are or have even worked in a garden? Once you lose contact with food and you lose contact with the process of having to struggle to acquire it, then you lose your humanity. Or in the world of mice, you lose your mouseness, whatever. I'm not sure what do you think the term would be for that? Your mouse sanity or something, I don't know. But you get my point. And humans have far more toxins and poisons and assaults against them today compared to the mice. For example, humans are being injected with mRNA vaccines. These mice weren't even injected with that. And mRNA is transhumanism and infertility and fibrous clots and everything that's killing humans today. So the collapse of human populations is vastly accelerated compared to the collapse of the mouse populations in the mouse utopia experiment. So keep that in mind. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger of naturalnews.com and also brighteon.com. Yeah, pray for America. Don't sell your soul to the Satanists and the pedophiles, that's for sure. Thank you for listening.